I invite you into the message this morning. What is it that God has in store for you? If you do not have a paper and a pen, you might want to get one. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's pray. Amen. Let's talk about stewardship and integrity, because the two go hand in hand. Stewardship is when we are caring for the gifts that God has given to us, whether that is in our body and in our lives, or that which surrounds us in our world. And when we come before God with integrity, being the people that God has created us to be, now we truly can do something and be someone. 60-odd years ago, my father was out and preaching, out in a small town in North Dakota, and it was time to build a new church. Inside that church, there was an older couple. They had had their families. He was a farmer. She was a farm wife. Their kids were up and out on their own. And as they were there, they were very, very frugal in how they lived. They were fantastic savers. And every 2 years, he would get a pickup, brand new pickup, and then she would get, well, whatever was needed inside of the house, inside of the kitchen. In this particular timing, in the early 60s, so this was right around 60 years ago, he was set for a new pickup, and she was set for a new refrigerator. The call had gone out inside the church that they were preparing to build, and one night, as they sat across from each other at the supper table, she said to him, "I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about the fact that really the only reason that I want a new refrigerator is, you know, it would be bigger, it would be nicer, it would be a more steady temperature, but this one's working okay. I can make it last for another year or two. I'd like to take that money and give it to the church so that we can build that new church." And he looked at her and said, "Funny you should say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing about my truck." And so on that night at the supper table, they prayed about it and they decided that she was going to give up her refrigerator and he was going to give up his pickup so that they could build the new church. Now, out of that conversation, let me ask you this. What did those two reject? And what did those two accept? What they rejected would have been the need for stuff. A 4-year-old pickup was going to run just as well as a 2-year-old pickup. The fridge that got them this far was going to get them that far. They were perfectly fine rejecting that, giving that up. But what was far, far more important to them was what they accepted. And I want you to see this. It wasn't what they accepted. It was who they accepted. These two had Jesus at the center of their relationship since early, day one in their marriage. Jesus was just a reality with them at the supper table. When they rejected buying new stuff, what they were doing was accepting Jesus, accepting that person. And when they did that, what they were saying was, "And we are going to build a home. We're going to build a home for Jesus in our community." This was the power of what they were about. We talked today about stewardship and integrity. And we're going to be talking about that all through October. Stewardship is absolutely one of the most crucial things that ever happens inside of our lives, because it teaches us who we are and that we are not our own. We are surrounded and filled with the gifts that God has given. Stewardship is the gifts. Stewardship is the care. Stewardship is the discipline that we use when we take care of the earth around us, when we take care of, of our church building, when we take care of our family, our friends, our neighbors, and when we take care of ourselves. And so we talk about, what does it mean then to live with stewardship in integrity? When you are true to yourself, becoming the person that God has intended you to be, this is integrity. And it is when we breach integrity, when we break away from God's intention for us, that we find that the trouble sets in. We find that our lives become so much poorer. What happens? What happens in our integrity when we breach integrity, when we ignore our stewardship? What we find is that so often our dreams become our nightmares. Now, it's not that we have to always follow every single commandment in order to fulfill our dreams. No, that's not how it works. That's prosperity gospel. No, that's not how it works. What we're simply talking about is our lives are fulfilled when we will live in wisdom and contentment and generosity. When we will live through the good stuff, but knowing that the difficult stuff is going to come right with it. One of the most painful moments in my life was when I was first preaching. This must have been, it was in the first 2 or 3 years inside of my ministry, and we were part of a friendship group. That there was a group of young adults in that church that were so powerful and so incredible to be with. And one of the couples became pregnant, and we all just celebrated. We loved this. And I think it was in about the 6th or 7th month that she lost the pregnancy. And the dreams became nightmares, and this was the first time that I had ever had to perform the ritual of a baby's funeral. And to this day, I can feel the pain that was in my chest and heart and head and life in that moment. What happens when life gets turned upside down through no fault of our own and our dreams become nightmares? Well, what happens with this is that we have to be drawn into the stewardship and the integrity even deeper, even deeper. Knowing that somehow, some way, when we walk with God through our deepest pain, through our worst nightmares, that somehow, some way, God is waiting for us, walking with us. You know Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the living power of what we talk about. When our dreams become our nightmares, the question is, what then? How do we become stewards of all of that? And how do we live in integrity? And what is it that we reject? And what is it that we accept? I want to tell you that parable again. Matthew 21, starting in the 33rd verse, except I'm going to tell it in a different way. There was once a man who had a ranch. His grandfather had homesteaded it up. It was in South Dakota, way up in the center, up in the middle section between Timberlake and Dupree, out in that great big area. 5,000 acres of beautiful rolling land. And when it was drier than burnt toast. And when it rained a deluge. And you waited for the ark to pass by. And when it was winter, it was winter, and when it was spring, it was all of the green and the beauty around. Well, Grandpa had homesteaded that, and then his son had taken it over and raised it, and then his son. And the time came when that grandfather needed to move off the place. So he moved down hundreds of miles away into one of the other South Dakota towns. And then he had to find somebody to take care of the ranch. And so he talked with a real estate agent that he knew, and he talked with a cattle buyer that he knew, and the three of them sat down and tried to figure out how could they still, knowing that they didn't have family to go and specifically take care of anything, that the man had a son, but the son wasn't a rancher. How were they going to keep this ranch going? And so they figured out, here's the kind of person, here's the kind of family, here's the way we'd have to structure the business, this is how it would have to work. And then they started to looking, and that cattle buyer and that real estate agent went out, and they began looking to find the right family, and they thought they found one. They identified this family. Everything was so good to begin with. The family moved up and off of the place where they were, way, way, way down in southern Nebraska. They moved all the way up into northern South Dakota, up onto that ranch in that huge, beautiful area. And things went really well. They were able to establish themselves. They were able to get the cattle business up and running, keeping it flowing. But after a year or two, something went wrong. And this man, hundreds of miles away from his own ranch, began to notice that there was something wrong with the books. And he began to suspect that this carefully chosen family was not the right family. They were able to get in and they were able to do an audit. And sure enough, they discovered that this family had been skimming, that this family had been cheating. And so what he did was he talked with the cattle buyer first, and he said, you got to go up, please. I can't go. My health won't allow it. You got to go up and see if you can get them to pony up so that we can get that money that they've skimmed off the top. So the cattle buyer went up, showed them the books. They didn't even listen to him. They punched him in the face and kicked him out the door. What? And so he went to his real estate agent and said, look, I got to have somebody up there right now. This is wrong, and I need it correct. You are an expert at this kind of stuff. Go. And so the real estate agent went up, and he took the books, he took the evidence, and said, this is what's going on. Stop it and pay up. And they beat him up and threw him out the door. This was serious. This was really serious. And he knew that he could call in law enforcement, but what he decided to do was to call his son. His son was a lawyer. His son lived down in Sioux Falls and knew the ranch inside and out. So he contacted his son and said, here's what's going on. I need you. Can you go? And so the son went up to that ranch that he knew so well, drove on to the place, got out, talked to the family, again, showed them the books, showed them the evidence. And behind his back, the family said, man, what an incredible opportunity. You know, if we just kill this guy, there will be no heirs, there'll be nobody that this ranch can be passed down to, and we'll have a chance to keep it. And so they set it up, they fabricated a scenario, they got into a fight, and they wound up killing the guy. And Jesus asked, what do you think is going to happen? Now, this very, very dark parable was spoken to a very select group of people. This is the only parable that I know of that was spoken to a targeted group. He was targeting the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish leadership that were right there. And in the darkness, what he was saying was, I came here for the kingdom of God, and you guys have ruined it. You have stolen it. You have sidetracked it. You are the ones skimming off the top. You are the ones. These accusations were extremely serious. And it's also safe to say, stories like this, actions like this, were some of the things that precipitated Jesus' death. He was not making friends with these conversations. Now let me ask you this. Same question as we started with in the earlier story. Those people up on the ranch, What did they reject? And what did they accept? What they rejected was the Master's love and presence. What they needed to accept, instead of accepting their own law, their own order, their own way of being, they should have accepted Christ. They should have accepted Jesus. This is where stewardship truly begins. When we talk about stewardship and integrity as Christians, we have to be talking about the power of accepting Jesus as the cornerstone, Jesus as the very center, Jesus as the foundation of who we are and what we do. Now, when we do that, when we have that foundation, then we get to ask, what else do we reject? And what else do we accept? What happens when we reject the things that are just killing us all around? When we accept, when we reject the pressures, when we reject all of the stuff and the materialism, when we reject all of the arguments on Facebook, when we reject the radicalness that is social media and all of the conflict that surrounds us, what would happen if instead we would accept that love that is Christ, choosing to model that, choosing to imitate that, choosing to share that with others? All right, now, in order to do that, I want to call in help today. I have asked one of those within our congregation to help out and to communicate, what would it mean? What do you reject and what do you accept? This is where you're going to want to have pencil and paper. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but here is one of those who is a counselor and a mom, a parent within our congregation, and let's see where she takes us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carolyn Short. Pastor Scott asked me to say a few things today about taking care of ourselves, especially given the time that we're in when we're not able to be in communication with one another in the same way that we were before. There have been a lot of limitations on how we're able to access our loved ones and our friends, and that can leave us feeling pretty stressed. I'm in mental health here in the community, and I have the opportunity to talk with people often about what's troubling them and how they're getting through hard times. And now, especially given all of the adjustments that we've needed to make in the last several months, people are faced with additional challenges of being able to connect with one another. And connecting is just a really key part of being able to get through hard times. I have an acronym in my mind when I think about how do I cope with hard things, and it's ACCEPT. I'll explain. A stands for activities. It's really, really helpful to really focus on activities that you find enjoyable, that you're able to really just focus on and put all of your energy and all of your attention into. For some of us, that's gardening, perhaps a round of golf, perhaps a hike, but maybe it will be less physical. It might be crocheting, it might be wood carving, it might be playing a card game, but something that is an activity that you can fully engage in, that takes all of your attention and time, can really get your mind off of some of the challenges in the world that we don't have any control over at this time to change, just things that might otherwise be really weighing down your energies. So that's A. The first C is connection. I'm going to get back to that one and say more, but connecting with others, contributing to your relationships in the ways that are available to you is really, really helpful for your mental health and really, frankly, to just your well-being overall. Whatever that contribution can be, perhaps that's give a friendly note to someone, send a nice message, a nice text or a nice email or a handwritten note. Maybe it's making a treat for them. Maybe it's giving them a compliment. Maybe it's going next door and mowing someone's lawn for them. But contributing in a way that really helps remind the person that you're caring for that you're there, and also reminds you that you do have people in your life that you can care for, and there are practical things that you can do to contribute to those relationships. The second C is comparison. If you think about how when David faced Goliath, he said, he recalled to mind fighting the bear. He remembered the battles that God had helped him with already, and that gave him the energy to face Goliath. So sometimes we need to remember the hard times we've been through, the things that we have already done to survive difficulties, and ways that we can draw upon those same strengths, those same areas of encouragement that we relied on before to face this new challenge, that we're not alone. And we've done it before, we can do it again. The next one is E, and that's emotions. Sometimes we just need to change our emotion. If we're feeling really worried, maybe it's call to mind a humorous joke. Call up a movie that you really like to laugh to. Maybe message your friend that has that inside joke with you and just laugh about a few things. It can really be helpful to change the mood. Maybe it's even play some music that's upbeat and exciting and you kind of dance along to. That can really change your mood as well. So there's some things that you can do to change the mood. That's emotions. P is pushing away. Taking the time to just separate your mind from the worry that you really can't do anything about right now. And really committing to yourself, I'm not thinking about that right now. And instead, you want to turn your thoughts to, you know, just sort of rest and being able to be still and be attentive to the things that are right here, right now in front of you that you can control. Maybe that one thing that you can control is dinner, just making dinner. Or maybe it's a house project that you've been putting off. So just being able to push away thoughts around the worries and really attend to something else, that's very helpful. And then lastly for T is thoughts. Perhaps a daily devotional, perhaps some prayer, perhaps just you know, reciting a poem to yourself, but putting thoughts into your mind that don't have anything to do with the worry that you can't control can really give you a sense of rest and refreshment away from the thoughts that are worry focused. So when you think of the acronym ACCEPTS, that is a really, really helpful strategy for giving yourself a break and really turning back to community. And I want to end by saying community is really what is going to strengthen us during this time. We're separated from one another. We're not able to access one another the way we used to, but connection is really key. It's really key for our spiritual life. It's really key for our mental health. It's key for our sense of belonging and connection to others. So finding creative ways to maintain connections during this time of separation from one another will keep us afloat. We can do this and we can do it together.
Are you ready to accept you, to accept yourself, to be moving proactively inside of your life when we base our lives on Jesus Christ using that foundation stone and then working creatively and positively in stewardship and integrity to create who we are and how we choose to respond to the world around us, to the stressors around us, to the chaos around us. How do we choose to accept that? May it be this week that you accept. Accept, first of all, Jesus in your life as the foundation stone, the center of our being, and then accept who you are and who you can be. May it be in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks for the very presence of Christ. And I give you thanks that that presence of Christ means that we can reject so much stuff around us in order to accept that which lies within us. And so we ask and pray that you would now guide us throughout this week, that we might always be your people doing your will. In Jesus' name, amen.